Good morning, New Hope. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I got a lot of notes, a little bit of time, so we'll just see where the Lord leads it. If you're hungry, just hang on a little bit longer. We'll get there. I want to thank New Hope, friends and family, my friends from Jacksonville, my children. Won't embarrass you. Stand up. You don't get to embarrass your kids too often. So, Alice and Stephanie. It's an honor to have them here today. It's an honor to be here and to share with you this morning. It's hard to believe that 9 years ago, we're finishing up 9 years this year. Let us pray, Lord, I can get through this. Are you content this morning? Are you joyful? We go to worship in 36 communities in Honduras. Every Sunday we go worship in a different church. It's a lot different from this church. It's a block building, exposed rafters. Sometimes there's bats flying around in the building. Sometimes there's chickens and dogs or pigs coming through. But the one important thing is they're worshiping our Lord and Savior, the same ones that we worship here. I just pray this day as you leave here that you can take back a little of what we've learned over our past 9 years in Honduras. You know, the ministry in Honduras has multiple facets. We host evangelism teams. We host construction teams. We host medical dental teams. But all those teams are focused on the main purpose, and that's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ alongside of our Honduran brothers and sisters. Ginger shared about last month we had 14 get baptized. Well, let me tell you about that community. San Jose de la Concha. It's about 10 kilometers from our ministry campus. What's that, 7 miles? Maybe? Hour and a half drive. Not on a paved road, but on a dirt road. But in that community, our group came down and worked alongside of the local church and went door to door sharing the gospel. They went to local school and shared the gospel. You see down there, Jesus Christ is accepted everywhere. He's accepted into schools. We also do ministry with the local police. That ministry has just exploded like you wouldn't imagine. I don't know what you know about Honduras. You've probably heard about it on television. It ain't good. You know, if you read statistics, it's number one or number two murder rate in the world. You know why that is? It's hard for us to accept that, but it's because they're getting stuff to us that we need. It's not food. It's the drugs that we need. So people are desperate. Gangs have taken over. But the one thing you will not hear about Honduras is that Jesus Christ is alive there, and his word is being spoken boldly. The police ministry there has really opened up big. We've been able to get a pastor up there weekly, which is above our ministry campus, and preach every week. We've been able to build them restrooms. They don't have restrooms to where they can take baths or take showers. There's 40 plus men and women up there working. We've had several police officers get baptized because of it. One story I'll share is the chief there, one of our workers' son was really sick. The chief pulled that boy to the side, 8 or 9 years old, and prayed with him, laid his hands on him and prayed with him. Not a North American, but a Honduran police officer did that. Prayed for this young man's healing. Because that's what they need most down there is prayer. They know that Jesus Christ will heal them if they only ask him. Since we've been in Honduras, we've seen Jesus firsthand. And those that have been can contest to this. We've seen this Bible, the book that we live by, come alive. You see the words in the New Testament lived out daily in Honduras. If you look in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22, Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, body more than clothes." The people of Honduras don't worry about that. They don't have the resources that we have here in this country. But they know they have Jesus Christ who they can depend on daily. And it's evident daily while you're there that they rely on Jesus Christ for their every need. The one thing that they realize is in verse 31, it says, "Seek first his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Seek first his kingdom. And it will be given to you. Not what you want, but what Jesus sees that you need to sustain yourself and to live daily. We've learned a lot from the Honduran Christians. We've learned how to live our life daily for him. And mine and Ginger's prayer is that we as a North American Christian, that we as North American can learn how to live our life daily for him. We can learn from the Honduran Christians on how to really put our faith and trust in him. The things that we've seen them is their hospitality, how they invite everybody in. We go with a team there to build a home and a community for a family. And the ministry so far in our 9 years being there has built over 180 homes for the families down there. And that's not to give praise for us, but it's to give praise to the Lord for what he has allowed me and Ginger to do, to be a part of. It's not been us that's been building. It's been people in this congregation and other places around North Carolina and Maryland have come down and helped be able to do this for families there. But during that time of building these homes, they've been able to share the gospel with people. And in turn, the Hondurans have been able to share the gospel with us. They've been able to share with us how we should live our lives daily serving him. Not serving ourselves, but serving him. There's a lady I want to talk about. We've had so many in the 9 years, so many situations we've been in that are just really heart-wrenching. Even now, some of them are heart-wrenching. There was one lady we met years ago. Her name was Lila. Some of y'all may remember me talking about her. She was in her 90s, living in a little house, no bigger than this. mud house. Y'all saw the picture, mud house, stick house. The pastor asked us, could we go by and visit her, that she needed a home. We go in her home, and she's got this sore on her leg right here. It's as big as a silver dollar. Y'all young people don't know what that is, but it's a silver dollar. Same thing as a paper dollar. But she had a sore on her leg and she needed a home. Well, as time progressed, we got her a home built. We were bandaging up, kept her leg bandaged up. She lived like 40 minutes from the mission house. We would go visit her when we could. You go in a little house, chickens would be in her house. Her sore would be there, it'd be bleeding. Come to find out, chickens have been pecking on it. It sounds bad, but the medical people in here would agree that the blood kept flowing. The blood was flowing out. It took about a year and a half to get it healed up. But that whole time, she didn't complain about anything. She was gracious to the Lord that she was alive. She was gracious for us coming to visit her. Just a gracious lady. One day, she called me Green Gong because I'm big. And but one day we went and we carried her some, all she'd been eating is beans and rice. We carried her some food, some fried shrimp, thinking she'd want something different. We gave her that fried shrimp. She had a round ceiling fan, not a ceiling fan, a floor fan cover hanging from her ceiling. She put her food in so the dogs wouldn't get it, or the chickens wouldn't jump up and get it. So she put her shrimp in that plate. She ate one shrimp. I mean, this lady was frail. When you hugged her, you could feel her rib bones, her shoulder, everything was just, she was just bones. I think John remembers this, because me and John went and bought her coffin for her. But as we were there, she put her food up. She didn't want to eat. As hungry as she was, she didn't want to eat. She made a comment to me that I'll never forget. She said, I want to taste the conversation. She wanted to sit down and talk and share about the Lord and share about her life with us. She wasn't concerned about eating. I hope I deterred y'all's appetite today. I'm just picking. There's another lady that we met. Her name was Ectamilia. She lived in a community with a bunch of adobe houses. We were walking through there some years ago and doing some assessing. A little 8-year-old girl comes up to us. I mean, her knees were bigger than her legs, if that tells you anything. And she says, can you come look at my mother? Her mother was 40 years old. This was March. We go to her house. She's laying in a little thatch bed. She had an external fixator on her leg. Her femur was broke. Since January, this was March. Never complained, praising the Lord, gracious that she was alive. Time goes on, she got help, things got took care of, she later passed. I don't know if the New Hope Youth Group knows it, but that's the same community y'all worked in this past year. But during all this, these people are praising the Lord. And we sit back and wonder, why? Why can that be? Why would they be praising the Lord in situations like this? It's because they have a personal relationship with the Lord. When you see their Bibles, they're worn out. I mean, they don't have covers like this, but they're just worn out. They're reading them daily. They're searching for the Lord's direction daily. There's things that you realize when you're in Honduras. And for what all of y'all seen, what all of you taught seen, is probably you think poverty is a big part of that culture down there. A lot of material poverty is there. And here we have poverty, but it's material poverty is not as bad as you see down there. Those that have been can contest to that. But there's also a poverty that we probably don't even think about. And that's spiritual poverty. You ever thought about spiritual poverty? And then there's another one called poverty of community. So there's three poverties there that I've come to realize, not by my own means, but by reading the book and meditating in the Word of the Lord. You know, you got material poverty, spiritual poverty, and poverty of community. And if we look at Honduras, and we look at the United States, do you see a difference there by what I've shared? It came to light to me as I was reading about it, reflecting on what the Lord has showed us while we've been there. But as you talk about spiritual poverty, that's where in my view and my knowledge, we've pretty much turned ourselves away from the Lord. We don't rely on the Lord anymore. We don't go to Him first thing. We solely rely on the Lord. As it says in Luke 12:31, seek first His kingdom. What I come to realize by thinking about that is Honduras doesn't have spiritual poverty. They've got material poverty, but they don't have spiritual poverty. Y'all may disagree, but I believe our country has spiritual poverty. We've turned our Lord away. We can go to schools down there anytime, day or night, and share the gospel. They want to hear about Jesus. Those that have been can see vehicles all over the place. Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus is with me. I'm not saying that's what we need, but I'm just saying that it's very evident that they love the Lord down there. Now, there's bad people down there, but those that truly follow the Lord, they're not afraid to share that. And I think we as a country, we've got to change that. And for me, it's been a small country like Honduras that has changed, that has shown me that we got to fall back on the Lord. The other one is poverty of community. I don't know my neighbors in Wake Forest. Do you? Do you know whether or not they're Christian or not? Do you? I don't. You ask the people in Honduras and those 35, 36 communities you work in, they can tell you who's Christian, who's not, the problems. They know their neighbors. They know what's going on. When there's a construction team that comes in or evangelism team that comes in, when a construction team comes in, they start building a home for a family down there. Most times people come from everywhere to help. They're not coming to get something out of it. They're coming to help. They may live in a stick home like their neighbor did, but they're there to help their neighbor, to help them get a home built. And when the project's over and done, out of the 180 homes we've built through the Lord, never once have we had somebody come up to us and say, can you build me a home? That just tells you the character of the people there. And I just pray we as a nation can get back to the Lord and get that way. And that's where the verse, the scripture reference in the bulletin comes from. It's in Matthew 22, starting in verse 37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself." And sometimes loving your neighbor hurts. Sometimes loving your neighbor gets you out of your comfort zone. Sometimes loving your neighbor takes you to places you never thought you would be 9 years ago. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. I skip a lot of stuff in here. I didn't know what you're expecting to hear about our 9 years in Honduras today. I want to share a little bit about what the ministry is about what's been going on, about what the Lord's been doing in our life, but about what we've seen the Honduran Christians represent to us. You know, a lot of times we go down and we do. The teams go down and they're a blessing to the people in these communities. Last night of the meetings, we have a debriefing before the teens fly home. And even during the whole week, and all these people that have been can testify to this. I've been more blessed than that they have, I believe. They showed me more about the Lord than I could ever imagine. They showed me what it's like to serve the Lord unselfishly. You can ask any of them. They're all, who all has been to Honduras? Raise your hand. I see a lot of hands down. You better come on down. You're never too old. Let the Lord show you his love and grace. One day Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Is he going to know you? Is he going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Are you being obedient to him? New Hope Baptist Church, friends from Jacksonville, are you being obedient to him today? Are you following his leading? One day we're all going to stand before the throne of God and give an account. He already knows. Are we being obedient to that? I know right now in Honduras, in a little block building with bats probably walking around, flying around, the Hondurans are worshiping the Lord as well. They're praising him. They're singing songs of praise. They're content. Are you content? You know, today if you're here and I don't know, this might be the first time you've ever heard about Jesus. If you're not, I encourage you to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe today you want to come forward and say, you know, I've not been that Christian that I should have been. I need to be more obedient to my Lord. that he's been obedient to me. Today's your day. It's never too late as long as you're here on this earth. Because if you haven't made that decision, one day it's going to be too late because you're going to be dead and gone. I encourage you today to make that decision to follow him, to make him your Lord and Savior of your life, to rededicate yourself to him, to whatever he would have you do. Maybe today you've made a decision you want to join this church, New Hope Baptist Church. Make this your family home. I encourage you to do that. As we close out and sing this song, Amazing Grace. Wow. How sweet the sound. That he'd save a wretch like me and like you. Don't let this day go if you've not made that decision. Thank you.